This the other night when we were preaching and got sharing a couple times when the Lord just moved and did things for us, and when we followed our heart, followed the leading of the Lord, and those were times, I didn't mention them then, but those were times when Chris and I was, when we didn't have hardly much, and we lived from paycheck to paycheck, and we just barely went from 1 week to the next week at that point in time. And the Lord was always faithful. He was always faithful when we felt compelled to give, and we gave when God laid it upon our heart. Tonight I want to preach because there is such a deceitfulness, especially in TV evangelists, in teaching how God rewards when people sacrificially gives. And I want to say this. In the Philippian church, we're going to find where they gave more than one time to Paul's need as a minister of Christ, as he was preaching the gospel in places like Thessalonica and so forth. When he needed some help, they gave once and again. They gave even to the point of their poverty. And so he's writing this letter, and he sent it by Epaphroditus to bring it back to the Philippian church and tell them how much he appreciated the fact that they gave once and again for his needs, and how God used them to provide, and how it added fruit to their labor. But now this bunch on TV that has mansions all around the world, has jet planes, and lives million and billionaires' lifestyles, God does nowhere in his book even remotely teach that God will bless supporting things like that. It was when Paul was in great need that God provided to him. It was when the Philippian church, because of their giving, was in great need that God met their needs. This bunch is going around and just keeps trying to siphon as much money out of spiritually ignorant people to give. They prey upon laden women. They prey upon people through deceitfulness of all these gifts and miracles that they claim. And in doing so, they just continue to take money. But one of these days, when they stand before a righteous, holy God, I would not want to be in their shoes whatsoever. And so we'll leave that to deal with them. But I wanted you to know that this sowing the seed and sow the seed to them is not what God teaches, and that's not what Paul's talking about. Just in case someone comes along and tries to make that case out of this scripture. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 17. Or let's go in verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound from to your account. Now you notice it was his necessity. It wasn't the fact to help me buy another jet plane that I got four in my garage out there, or buy another mansion over here because I've got three or four mansions over here. That was not what it was about. It was about the necessity of preaching the gospel, spreading gospel. Verse 18. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smelling, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19 is where we're going to preach from tonight. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, let's look and you know, Brother Eric back there has been teaching in Sunday school, doing a marvelous job, and several times he's talked about principles. And everybody's got to learn that there are three distinct things when it comes to Scripture, and we need to be able to separate those things. One is precepts. Precepts are just the commands of God. He makes it plain. Thou shalt not steal. How difficult is that to understand? Well, is it okay to steal a penny? Thou shalt not steal. Well, how about a dollar? Thou shalt not steal. Well, what if I see somebody drop it? Thou shalt not steal. Those are precepts. Then there's some principles that's supported through Scripture that you take from the precepts and from the teachings of God, and you see principles applied. And those principles are found throughout the Scripture to teach about those subject matters. Then there's preferences. And this is where people get hung up. People begin to try to make preferences, precepts. And when you begin to make preferences, precepts, now you say, well, that's my conviction, and that's what I do. Somebody said, well, I've had people say, well, I think it's wrong to have a mustache. Well, that's your preference. I've had people say, well, I think it's wrong to have a beard. Well, that's your preference. I don't know what you do with the Scripture where they say they pluck Jesus' beard, but I guess you'll have to figure that out. It's and by the way, I don't support the drawings of Jesus because I don't think that any way represents Jesus. And I remember what Brother Sisson told me one time, his oldest son. He was wanting to grow his hair out, and Brother Sisson was after him to cut his hair. And he said, well, Brother Sisson, Jesus had long hair. Oh, he was wanting Brother Sisson to buy him a car. That's what it was. He's turned 16. And he said, well, Brother, he said, Dad said, Jesus had long hair. And Brother Sisson said, yeah, he walked everywhere he went too. But I thought that's a pretty good comeback, but we don't know the fact that he had long hair. As a matter of fact, I believe the Scripture teaches against that. Right. Now, but anyway, the point I'm trying to make is there is a degree of a preference, and sometimes what we do is we have a preference and then we want everybody else to abide by our preference. That's when we get in trouble, and that's when we add weight, and that's when we add a harm to those who are tender in the flock. Everybody has to have their space to grow. And so you got to be very careful in setting your preference, okay? It may be all well and good that you have that preference, and if God convicts you of it, I would say for sure wear it and carry it. But what you have to do is this. You have to go back to the precepts and the principles taught. So looking here, where the Paul told the church of Philippi, I'm sorry, but my God shall supply what? All your need according to his what? Riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, this is not a new thing that Paul just come up with. This is something that is a principle that has been taught throughout the Scripture. Now let's go back, if you would, and go with me to the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. In Exodus chapter number 12, we find the principle that God used. Because, you know, when we, and I tell young people this, now listen to me, young people, you girls and you guys both. There is a process of having children. I had someone tell me the other day, they weren't married and they were going to have a child. And they said, "I'm so happy." I said, "You have no idea what responsibility that child is, and to bring them into a single parent home is really difficult." Now listen to me. God has an order. He has an order for you to find marriage, and then after marriage, then comes children. When it's time, and when the time is right, and when God so sees fit. Now you gotta remember, pay attention. Those children are a heritage and a loan to you by God. Amen. He expects you to love them. He expects you to teach them. He expects you to train them. And he expects you to discipline them in the right way. And he expects you to treat them as if they are his, because they are his. But what you need to understand is this, young men. When you get a child, and then God expects you to provide for that child. Amen. That's right. And you are to take care of the needs of that child. Someone who does not take care of their own needs, of their children. The Bible says a man that will not work is worse than an infidel. Yeah. And it's a sorry individual that has children that don't take care of them. I listened to this one guy on TV, and he was on a talk show, and he was bragging. It wasn't a talk show. It was one of these court shows where he's before a judge. And one of the mamas had him up there. He had 11 babies by four different women, and he wasn't married to any of them. And he thought it was a big joke, and he thought it was big. Every one of those was a trophy, yet he took care of none of them. That's the lowest of lows. I remember one time picking up on an ambulance run down Macquarie County. We picked this girl up. She was 25 years old, having her 13th child. Never had a set of twins. Never been married. The 13 children was by four different men. Half of them didn't even have shoes on their feet. And we had to put all 13 or 12 of them in the ambulance and bring them, because there was nobody there with her to bring them to the hospital. I'm going to tell you something. God, he expects you as men to take care of your children, provide for them. And God don't expect you to do something that he does not do in a perfect way. And I want you to know something about God. Our Heavenly Father provides all of our needs when we need them. God has a way of doing that when we are trying to serve him and we're trying to obey him. God has a way of providing those needs. I could spend a long time, and I know Chris could vouch for me. We could spend a long time telling you time and time again where God just provided for our needs. And I'm sure other people in here could as well. Look, if you would, in Exodus chapter number 12. Most of you are familiar with this. And now God had his covenant people in Egypt. And we remember they got there because of Joseph and all the things that happened. And there was a Pharaoh that arose that knew not Joseph. And the children of Israel was in bondage. And as their bondage got more and more severe, they began to cry out to God for their need. They began wanting God to rescue them. And so God raised up a deliverer. We listened to Brother Broughton preach the other day. He preached on that and did a wonderful story, the old, old story. And I enjoyed that so much, listening to him preach in person for a change. But anyway, going back to this, he raised up a deliverer, Moses. And he sent Moses in chapter 5 to Pharaoh, and he told Pharaoh, "Let my people go." But what Pharaoh said was, he said he knew not this Lord, and he said, "I will not let your people go. I will not." That was all he said, I will not. But then you look on through the book of Exodus, and Brother Broughton brought this out, and I loved it. Everywhere where God said, I will do something. Well, when it ended up, God did everything he said he will do, and Pharaoh didn't do anything he said he would do. He said, I will not let the people go, and guess what? He let the people go. Plague after plague after plague, and soon God broke the will and the spirit of Pharaoh when he sent that last plague, and the firstborn in every family and even animals died that night by a death angel unless they had the blood applied to the lintel and the doorpost. And so therefore what we have is we have God hearing the cry of his children, sending a deliverer, and he's going to bring them out of Egypt. So when God finished up with Pharaoh, look if you would in Exodus chapter 12 in verse number 31. The Bible says, and he called, this Pharaoh, he called for Moses and Aaron by night. Now notice it was in night. And he said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs, being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they barred the Egyptians jewels of silver and gold and raiment. Now, notice here, if you would, that what God did was he came and Pharaoh surrendered at night. And he called Moses and he called Aaron in. And he said, I want you to leave immediately. Not only you leave, take all the children with you and take everything. Now, what they had to do was they had to get out right then. So the children of Israel had to leave pretty much with the clothes on their back, other than what little flocks or something they had. Now it's estimated they had between probably 2 and 3 million people. So what little provisions they had did not take them long to begin to use up as they exodus out of Egypt and went on toward the land in which God took them. Now they were fixing to go into this hostile wilderness. In this wilderness there was no water, there was no food, there was nothing for them. But now notice that God had sent them out there. And so what happened as they went through there, you know the story. When they needed water, God told Moses to go over. And the first time he told him to strike the rock. And when he struck the rock, water gushed out of the rock. Amen. Now Brother Junior got on this the other day. And the end of Moses' life, he couldn't go into the promised land. And God took him up on Mount Pisgah and buried him because of the fact that the second time he told him to go and speak to the rock, he went and he was aggravated and he struck the rock. And somebody said, why was God so harsh? Because Jesus only had to be struck once on the cross of Calvary. Once he died upon the cross of Calvary, from that point on, we speak and call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. We don't have to crucify him anew anymore. He only had to be crucified one time. Now notice here that they left and soon their provisions was gone. Soon they were there in the middle of this hostile desert, wilderness, and they had no water. And God sent water out of the rock. Soon they had nothing to eat. And God sent manna down from heaven. Their clothing and raiment would soon have been taken. And God provided that as well. Look if you would in Deuteronomy chapter number 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. After 40 years and Moses wandering with the children for 40 years and them having no water, them having no bread and no clothing, notice in chapter 29 in verse number 5. He says, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord." Was this? He wanted to know that when you obey me, and by faith you go where I tell you to go, by faith you do what I tell you to do, and when you have think you have nothing of provisions, I will provide your needs. Your needs will be met. He said, "I didn't provide you the meat. I didn't provide you strong drink and wine." He said, "I provide you water. Your clothes did not wax and old. Your shoes did not wax and old." How would you ladies like to have shoes? You wear the same pair for 40 years. Amen. Boy, just think what a savings account you'd have at the end of that 40 years. Amen. But look here. The point being is that God did this providing all their needs. You know why? Because God is a faithful God. He's able to provide their needs in the most unusual way. They didn't have to ask who gave them water out of the rock. You know why? It couldn't have come from nowhere else. They couldn't sustain themselves. Why did God tell them just run out by night and leave and just carry on their back? Why didn't he tell them pack them a big meal? Because they would have been depending upon themselves rather than God. And what God wanted to do was he loves to show himself faithful to his people. And so whenever they got to the point and they obeyed him and by faith they went, and yes, there was times they murmured and there was times they did things, and yes, there was times that God had to chasten them, but what happened was this. God proved that he was able to provide their needs, and they knew that it came from God. I mean, bread every morning, anew, sent down from heaven. Clothing for 40 years. Shoes for 40 years. Water. And even when they found some water at Marah, cast a stick into it, and God made it sweet and able to drink because it was bitter and unable to drink. But look on, if you would, in Luke chapter 9. Not only did he do it there, but he also taught the same principle in Luke chapter number 9. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 9, in verse number 1, he took his 12, those that was going to carry on his ministry, and he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, now watch, take nothing for your journey, neither staves. Now staves would be something that you would use to walk, to strengthen yourself as you walked on the journey. Neither scrip, and that would be packing things for their needs. Neither bread, neither money, because money you could buy and supply your own needs. Neither have two coats apiece. Now notice this. They said, when you go, just go preach and go out and preach and carry on this ministry and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And so they went forth as God had commanded them, and they obeyed God, and by faith they went, leaving all these material things behind. And he tells them that when they go come into the house, if they won't feed them, then just when they step out of the house, just dust the dust off your feet as a testimony against that house. But now notice, if you would, they went to village to village, town to town, and God provided. How do we know? Look, if you would, on over in Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22. Jesus, before he left, he asked him a question. Look in verse 35. He refers back to this time and where he sent the 12. And in Luke 22:35, and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said what? Nope. God provided everything that we needed. Whatever we needed, God provided it through all these means. Don't know where it came from, don't know how it came, but whenever we was hungry, God fed us. I often think about George Mueller and how that he run that orphanage and how that he was such a prayer warrior. And times he would just tell the children, sit down, God will provide our needs. And lo and behold, something would happen every time. Someone would bring something, a cart would break down in front of their house, some knock on the door, and there he would be able to feed those children. Why? Because God is able to provide needs. Now that, look if you would, in Matthew chapter number 10. In Matthew chapter 10. Jesus also told them when he would send them out that he would send them out as sheep before it was. In chapter 10, notice verse number 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In other words, he said, I'm going to send you, and God's going to protect you. He's going to put a hedge around you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you understanding. He's going to help you in times of your ignorance, and he's going to provide your needs. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 6. Again, we find this same principle taught. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking upon the mountain, talking to a large crowd. That crowd was interested in their physical needs, and it was interested in their material needs. They come to listen to Jesus and bring their sick before him. And in Matthew chapter number 6, notice if you would, in verse number 25. Jesus told him, says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And what the principle he's teaching is this. If God is able to clothe the animals and the birds and the fowls of the air, and he's able to take care of them, put feathers upon them, and put instincts upon them in how to react, when you have a need, and God realizes that need, he is able to provide that need. Now remember, Paul said he not only provided the need, but he provided need according to his riches in heaven by Christ Jesus. Now what does that mean, his riches in heaven? What that means is that you and I have limitation. I might say, well, I've got a burden to give that missionary some money and try to help them or give them a car or give them some clothes or give them something along that line. Well, just the other day, we gave a missionary about $2,000 or $3,000. He was in a need, and was able to give it to him. God blessed us and the offering that we took up, and it was just what he needed. And we was able to give it to him. But now look here. There was a limit on what we can do. We have a limit. Just so much we got. But God, in riches and glory, has no limit. Whatever we need, cattle on 1,000 hills are his. Heard old black preacher one time preaching. He said, I reckon if the cattle on 1,000 hills is God's, he can put a little steak on my table every now and then. And I like that, amen. And that's true. And he truly blesses us. But now look here. Look back in your Bible in chapter number 6. He not only clothes, he not only is able to take care of the birds and fowls of the air, but look if you would in verse number 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Not only was God able to do that. In verse 30 he says, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So again, he teaches us that when God lays upon us our heart to do something and to step out by faith and obey him, God's going to take care of that matter. He's going to take care of our needs, because as we, as earthly fathers, are responsible to take care of the needs of our children, God is much more responsible to take care of us, because he is faithful in all things. Now look on, if you would, in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Now notice verse 33. I know many of you have memorized this, but look at it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? We have a promise of our heavenly Father that if we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I've heard people say, preacher, I would tithe, but I can't afford to. I would give, but I can't afford to. But I'll say this. I have found in my life that God has placed upon us, and I'll be honest with you, when we have given to God, and we count that, it's gone. We don't even consider that, because that is just showing that what we have is all of God's. And therefore, not only is the 10% his, the 90% is his. And so therefore, when God lays it upon our heart to do that, and you know, we found that we've been able to take that 90% and stretch it just as far as we need to stretch it. And every time that we need something, it's able to stretch a little further. God just has that ability. It's marvelous when we have that ability of God. Now, notice if you would, in chapter 8 of Romans, and two more verses, I'm going to close, but notice if you would in Romans chapter number 8. In Romans chapter number 8, get back over there. I passed it up. Notice if you would, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? When we need something. But now look here. Now follow with me, folks. I can tell you this, I have a conviction, I've always had a conviction to tithe. But there was a time when Chris and I wasn't even faithful in church, and I definitely wasn't tithing. And we had less bills than we ever had probably at the time. And we could not save a nickel. Everything we had broke down constantly. We had something going on all the time. And God would condemn me. And I knew what I should be doing. First of all, I need to get right with God and get back in church. Second of all, I need to be giving God what was rightfully his. And so when we did that, we never looked back. And we made a decree that we would do that. It doesn't matter what bills, what's going on, because that's not even discussed. It's not even a part of the equation. That money is already gone. It's his. And we're not going to touch it. We'll do without. We'll sell something. We'll do whatever else we need to do. But we don't dip into God's money. And so therefore, what we find is that God is able to do these things. Look back, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. In verse number 20. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Notice if you would, back in Philippians. We go to this verse all the time. I ask people sometimes, what's your favorite verse? Many people have this as favorite verse. Verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. And so some people said, well, that means that I can learn to jump and grab the rim, and I can learn to do this, and I can, if I just look to God, just, that's not what it's talking about. is talking about in obedience to God, in the service of God, and providing and seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and providing for it. And when you give unto that, and you sacrificially give, God will allow you to give what's needed to be given. You know, that's what I loved the other day. The missionary called and said, I've got to have this, and I've got to have it by this deadline. And so we were able to just take an offering up and meet the needs of that guy that so desperately needed it. And I thank God for it. But then I think about, and what God did was this. We took it out, and we gave it. And then God just multiplied it and put it back in. And it's amazing how God does it. And so in verse 19, when he says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, what we need to understand is there's a principle with our Heavenly Father. When we are obeying him by faith, serving him, by faith stepping out, doing the things he's asking us to do, then he will provide our needs as it is necessary. And he will provide them in some of the most unusual ways, because he provides them with all his riches and glory. And he never runs out of resources to be able to provide them. Amen. Let's stand tonight, get a song. I'm glad that I have a Heavenly Father. I'm glad I don't have to worry at night. I'm glad I don't have to worry what's going to happen tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow. And what I do is I just trust him. Amen. Thank God that we have a Heavenly Father that can supply not some of our needs, but all of our needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. Isn't that marvelous to know? Amen. Amen. Listen, if you're here tonight not saved, you need to understand the message is not for you. You need to understand as well, you're being disobedient to God and God is dealing your heart. You say, preacher, it just seems like I just can't seem to get these things. It's because God's trying to teach you a lesson. He's as obedient father. Sometimes he chastens every son he loves, because he chastened me, and he chastened me to get me to a place where I could serve him and where I could see his bountiful supply, and I could see how faithful he was in providing my needs when I needed them.